Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to episode 34, season 2 of the Ought to Know Better podcast. I'm Smarty. I'm your host tonight. I'm joined by the wonderful Luke, the very small Jay, and the bald and very beautiful Gilly. Stay right there, and we'll see you in a sec.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
Still a cracking intro, that, isn't it? It's a belting is that, isn't it? They don't come much better than that, do they? Hello, everyone else.
I don't know if you've got anyone in. Half of people aren't even on anymore, though.
Yeah, I've got some rubbish to drop off.
We've got some stuff to do and some work to do in the summer, haven't we?
Fucking hell. We might have to change. We'll be ripping some badges off our sleeves by all accounts. Hello, guys. How are we all doing? How have your weekends been?
All right.
Crap.
You've had a crap weekend. Luke's had a very, very good weekend.
How do you know? Can you remember it?
I don't even know if I had a good weekend or not. So if you do, please do tell me.
You were there in body, mate. I've seen the pictures.
Certainly in body.
That's all I can say about it all. Gilly's lagging. Gilly's been doing some logging. He's been lumberjacking this weekend. Lots of everyone else. Give us a wave, say hello in the comments. Let's have some interactions. Let's get your feelings about the weekend and the game on Saturday. Can't remember. It seems like it's been ages. And
Saturday.
Oh, it was Saturday. We're playing on Sunday.
I'm just so glad to see back of it, to be honest. I don't know about you, but before we get into that, we'll go to the predictions league, please.
Yeah, that's me, isn't it?
Yeah.
So everybody but two people went with a draw. Carl went with a Leeds win, which obviously means that Leeds lost. But I don't know whether we're going to blame Carl for it or blame Smarty for it, who went with a City win. Smarty went 3-0 City. Carl went 3-1 Leeds. Everybody else went a draw. Smarty gets 1 point and can get in bin.
Was it worth it?
Ambassador. No, it's not. I'd say it's Carl's fault because whenever he predicts, I mean, obviously, we always try to get him to predict, and whenever he does predict, he gets it wrong and we end up losing normally, which is why he doesn't do it, but we shave him into it. So we should really stop, especially over the last next four games.
How does it make you feel? Like, for the sake of, it's not even a real point. I mean, nothing. It's a point.
Not just that, but do you know what it did for the league placings? It moved you from eighth on 17 points to eighth on 18 points.
but I did predict 3-0, and I nearly came away with 5 points. Where would that, if I'd have got five? Where would that put me?
That would have put you on 22 points in eighth.
sound. Predictions league then. I just knew we were going to get kicked by fucking City. I mean, anyone with that brain cell probably knew. Luke, you don't remember much of the game, but Gilly, give us your thoughts on the loss to Pep Guardiola's wonderful City, and what are your thoughts?
I think you can't enjoy a 4-0 defeat. I didn't think it felt like a 4-0 game, and a lot of it did go by in a blur. I think there were a lot of trepidation before the game across the entire fan base. I don't think anybody were particularly confident going into it for myriad reasons. I think overall, I felt that we played quite well, all things considered. I think if you look at some of the chances that we spurned in the second half, where they cleared a couple off the line, a wonder save, I think, you know, it could have been a much closer scoreline. We deserved nothing from the game. They were better than us. But I think in terms of scoreline, I thought 4-0 was a bit unfair on us. One of the main reasons I think that was the case is we played wingers and we played them on the wing. And this is just, you know, this is unreal insight that I'm giving here. But if you play players where those players like to play and can have an impact in the game, then they do better. And this is just unreal.
You're saying that you can have to play players in the right positions?
Yeah.
I can't believe that's still a thing.
After his comment the other week saying it was fantastic football, a feast for the eyes.
I think most of us said it were effective.
Yeah, but effective against, you know, maybe some mediocre shite and not potentially the Premier League champions. Luke, you're on your head off. What are your thoughts of the game, mate? Did you enjoy yourself on Saturday?
I had a fantastic time, but yeah, I mean, from the bits that I do remember, as Matt said, it didn't feel like
you're all right there, Matt. Like a 4-0.
I have to be honest, I had to ask fucking. I sort of came round at an house party on Sunday morning and said, what was the score yesterday?
Was that the first thing you said before, where am I?
No, I knew where I was, sort of.
You didn't there before.
But yeah, look, I think I've watched it. I've watched the majority of it back, what I can, and yeah, there was some good stuff. There was some average stuff that we've come to get used to this season as well. But Gilly's quite right in what he said. The wingers didn't really have a choice but to play on the wing because they use every inch of every pitch they play on. They're so clever and so good with the ball, and you've got to obviously take into account that a lot of their better players didn't even play. So yeah, look, it is what it is. We didn't deserve anything from the game, but we had his chances, and that they took theirs. I think that's probably in a nutshell from me.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, like I say, anyone who was serious about it didn't expect, you know, us to beat City. I certainly don't think people expected Everton to beat Chelsea. And I think the Watford result was a bit of a kick in the dick. So with that said, Jay, that's left us in a little bit of a more of a serious situation with regards to relegation. What are your opinions about that then? Where's that left us?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Positive, Jay.
I'm trying to be positive.
Need to be more positive.
I'm trying.
We're in a relegation right now, Jim. Come on.
Listen, I could have dealt with our result okay in isolation had those other results not gone the way they had. I mean, how did Burnley come back to win that game? How were they doing?
What they did, Jay, they scored two goals.
Well, yes. I get that.
Well, better than Watford in the second half.
Cheers, lads. And also, why is it that teams like Chelsea are playing the way they are against teams like Everton? Yet when they play us, they'll play out of the skins and they'll play like prime Brazil and destroy us. Whereas other teams seem to be getting an easy ride off these so-called bigger teams. That's really winding me up.
We're not famous anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know.
It's one of them, isn't it? I mean, Everton have got a good squad, haven't they? And they're starting to show a little bit of form, maybe. Pickford seemed to have an absolute, you know, game of his life. I mean, some of the saves that he pulled off, and you know, against Chelsea, were absolutely outstanding. You know, I won't mind him playing like that when he's playing for England, but when he's playing for Everton, he can get fucked, the little Wrexham bastard.
Absolutely.
You know, it is what it is. I mean, there is it. I was having to flick through the brand, and I had a look at this little table, and that's from not that far long ago. And if you look at the table as it is there, and then look as it is now, it's not. I mean, look at Everton. They're a bit of a mixed bag. Burnley have done really well, and we're a bit of a mixed bag as well. Where do we see Everton dropping points? Are they going to be? Do they play Villa twice?
Yeah, they do. They've got them home and away, haven't they? I'm just hoping to God that they do drop points, because if they start getting momentum behind them, that's us fucked, man. It's out of our hands then. That's the part I don't like.
It's out of our hands already. If they win their game in hand.
Well, yeah, I mean, as it stands why now, are we in this situation?
Right, why are we in this situation? I mean, whose feet does it land firmly at? Is it the board? Is it Bielsa? You know, there's too many. Is it the fucking 49ers? You know, it's at the end of the day, we haven't won enough games. We've been shit. We deserve to be where we are. And if Burnley and Everton decided to turn it around in form, then, you know, that's fucking on us to do exactly the same. And if we can't, then I think a lot of people have pretty much accepted that we're going down to Championship next year. Quite a few.
A lot of people are pissed off.
Including myself, are pretty hopeful that we'll be able to pull ourselves out of the shit. But, you know, what do you guys think? Are we going to be able to, you know, are we going to be able to pull ourselves out of this? You know, what do you think?
I'm just worried that we won't get results against the big teams. I'm scared we don't have it in us, that we don't have the fight.
Does Everton give you a bit more hope for them sort of games, no?
The same performance were decent to me, I thought. Like, as I was saying to you guys before we came on, the big difference with that game and the previous sort of three or four was that we were actually passing to each other. There was some movement. We kind of looked like we were keeping our shape pretty compact at times when we were defending, so that we didn't get stretched, which were good to see against a side like that. You know, you can't just go gung-ho all the time, even though we love to see it before. But I'm worried that the players were more up for that game because it's City, and they won't get themselves up for the games against the smaller teams, because otherwise, why have we struggled so much against the likes of Watford and Southampton and stuff, you know? Why are we not sort of seeing games like those as this is our opportunity to get those points so we don't have to rely on games against the bigger teams?
What is that opinion based on, though? Why have we got that opinion? You're right. Everyone I speak to, most people will say we should be beating teams like Palace, we should be beating teams, quite rightly, like Watford and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, other teams are going to be thinking about that, about us. You know, we're we're easy to beat. We're a good fucking team this year.
Nobody's really talking about Brentford being in this relegation scrap, which I think they massively are. And the reason I think they are is because they're on 40 points with a game played, one more than us, and they've got us and Everton both to play. If they lose against us and Everton and we win that additional game, if we pick up an additional win, we'd be above Brentford, as would Everton.
I mean, I know people
are... What can happen? I think there's going to be a lot of... I mean, I don't think Brentford will go down, but I just don't understand why they're getting sort of a bit of, I wouldn't even say a free ride, but less media attention, I suppose. But there's still a lot that can happen. Everywhere from Brentford down, pretty much, I think, could get relegated.
It's not just Brentford. I think Villa are in that as well. Villa are on the same points, and they've got to play two of the teams down there, one of them twice.
Yeah.
Villa can drop into that. They're on 10 points.
I mean, everyone's being pessimistic, and all right, that's us, you know, HMS destination fucked. But I don't think it is yet. Maybe time will tell over the next weekend or so. I'd like to be a little bit more positive.
Yeah, I am, and not the same amount of points as Watford and Norwich would even feel like we're down, you know, until it's mathematically impossible for us to go down, then I'm always going to believe. And I still think we've got something about us, and the two home games coming up against Chelsea and Brighton will be absolutely vital for us, I think.
I think this Arsenal game is really important myself. I think if we lose that, it's fucking hell, another game gone, another defeat, another time we've rolled over. Whereas if we get,
I don't think we can expect to beat Arsenal away.
Yeah, no, but even if we get a point, you know, then that's going to be like fucking hell. That's going to be massive. That's going to boost the lads and boost the morale a bit, get the fans cheered up a bit, and you know, that's all we can really hope for, isn't it? I don't see a win realistically, but I'd hope we could scrap for some points against these teams. Oh no, no, I agree.
I think the other element to it is, I don't know what Cooper's situation is, but without Dallas and potentially without Cooper, you know, there's a lot of experience and a lot of leadership gone there. We've already talked this season a few times about the fact that Pablo and Alioski and, you know, we lost senior members of the squad at the start of the season. And now we've lost senior members of the squad again, out of that squad. But if you look at when Stewie's been available to us all of this time, he's been Mr. Reliable, and now even he's gone.
Yeah.
How we react to that? That's
it's
going
like
to be
the Ravens
a tough ask.
Leaving the tower, isn't it? That's what I mean.
Shelley Johnson just said, I think it's a huge disaster if we get relegated in terms of how much the 49ers put into the club, the loss of players at a deflated value, and even new stand. Will that be built? I think I can safely say that that will not happen if we were to get relegated. No, well, I don't think it was going to happen for a few years anyway until we were established properly. Or that's certainly, well, you never know. We've got 25,000 people waiting on a waiting list. I bet that won't go down, will it, lads? to get relegated or whatever. But so speaking of the crowd and atmosphere and all that sort of stuff, what are your thoughts on the, obviously, it were absolutely mental in stands and stuff on Saturday. And even when they scored the fourth goal, all you could hear were Leeds fans. I mean, you got the typical bit of a roar from City fans. I sit right next to them, but they were quashed within seconds. What does that say? I mean, obviously there were Jesse Marsh as well enjoying it towards end of game and all that sort of stuff, doing a bit of fist pumping and all that sort of stuff, and pointing to all. What do you make of that, lads? What is that? What do you make of it? What does it say?
A bit weird,
to
though, isn't it?
To our team. What does it say to our lads? What does it say to the rest of the league? Is it a defiance thing? Is it a fuck it? We're all aboard it. We're all destination fucked. All that sort of stuff. We don't care.
As long as none of the lads take it as fuck it, lads. You can get beat 4-0.
We don't care.
Pay the money. Yeah. Fuck it. Go on, lads. Hey.
I think if ever we needed a person like Jesse Marsh in charge, it'd be now. You know, somebody who's got the lip service, who can, you know, shove a firework up your ass and make you feel a bit better, believe it, especially for the young lads as well, that are going to have to come in and do a real job for us coming up to the end of this season. I hate to even guess the lineup come the weekend, but I anticipate there's going to be a few more younger heads, if not in the starting lineup, certainly on the bench, to come in and support the lack of Cooper and Dallas as well, unfortunately. So yeah, look, I think if ever we needed somebody who was, you know, Mr. Motivator and make you feel good about yourself and we can do it type of, you know, you'd pick an American to probably come in and do that, and he's already shown that's a big part of his game, his motivation and man management, and it's a completely polar opposite to probably what Bielsa would be doing with him, and that's nothing. I mean, nothing against Bielsa at all. They're just completely two different management styles.
Yeah.
So, I think if ever we did want somebody like that, it'd be somebody. You know, you look at past managers over the years that have got a good history of keeping teams up. You can imagine them having a beer with the lads and getting pissed up, and you know, having a real good do. You know, your Sam Allardyces and people like that. So. I'm not in any way suggesting that Sam Allardyce is similar to Jesse Marsh, by the way. But you know what I mean? Just a more personable, sort of likable, one-to-one with the lads. You know, a bit of a... I don't know.
They're not all like that. You look at Pulis, you look at Dyche. You know, they've got a history of keeping sides up. And
I can imagine Dyche just sitting on his head doing shots of vodka through his eyeball.
Nah, it'd be a right knobhead on a night out.
Playing Scrabble. Playing vodka Scrabble or something.
Yeah, so, so yeah, I, th- I think I think all that is what we needed. We need the crowd as much as anything. And I mentioned before that these last two games are going to be absolutely vital. And I think they're the probably realistically, I think they're the two games we've got the most chance of getting anything out of.
I think
it was an immense atmosphere. It was genuinely, it was an immense atmosphere. It was awesome. I don't know if it set the scene with the paper at the start, but I mean, God knows who idea that was. But I think, you know, it was kind of a, I don't know if the pressure were off because nobody expected to get anything from the game. I don't know if that's what it was. And it was just a bit of, you know, it was a laugh. I think just to touch on that, I think we need to get on Raf's case a bit more and piss him off because he plays a hell of a lot better. So I don't know. I don't know if it were a bit of that. Nobody expected anything. So it was that kind of, we're in a situation where we'll just get behind him regardless of whatever happens. We can't get pissed off because we know we're going to get battered.
Yeah.
I did have to laugh at the City fans. The fact that they were silent most of the game. They sort of perked to life for 30 seconds when they scored, and then someone lobbed a couple of flares on, like they were this hardcore fan base. You know, they were just like travelling around, taking this atmosphere with them. It's like, what the fuck, lads? Come on.
I think they were pretty good City fans, actually. They're one of the best ones we've had this year. 100%.
I thought they were pretty good, but you know, champions of Europe, you'll never sing. That was a nice one.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody next to me said they're not going to understand. They're all going to be looking at each other like
them a little bit of pressure in first half, which you know we started to turn them over a little bit. Not that it came to anything, but they started to go a little bit quiet when they were under pressure. But yeah, fuck it, it's typical, isn't it? You're not going to match Ellen Road's home crowd anyway. Really, go toe for toe.
What about that chance in the first bloody minute when one of them slipped and Rodriguez...
Dan James scores that.
Yeah, probably not, but why did he wait so long to try and play it to Rafi? He was wide open, he was screaming for it. We could have scored there and it, you know, probably still got
And it would
have
been 8-1.
Would have been in a fight, you know what I mean? It would have been a bit better.
One question I've got, we got beat by him 7-0 early on the season. Have we come on since that?
Yeah, with three goals better.
We're harder to beat.
I don't know if we're better, but
we're harder to beat.
Defensively, we're better set up.
Someone has now taped up some of the old.
Attacking-wise, we are dross, but I don't want to start going down that road. when we seem to attack, we kind of look lost. I don't know if any of you guys pick up on that or anything, but when it's attacking, it's like, shit, what do I do? Where do I go? We're so narrow. Do we look to play it? Quite often we look to play it to wings. There's no one there because we play in this penis formation, as other people call it. You know, we're just not as good at attacking. Defensively, much better. But at no point did I ever think, oh yeah, we're going to break these down and we're going to get a goal.
Not like quite sure where they're meant to be, are they now? When we're going forward,
we're not aggressive. We used to be lightning fast, but then again, under Bielsa, we certainly weren't as good going forward this year as in previous seasons as well. So you know, you can't really say it's all down the marsh.
But
we are where we are, chaps.
Shelley's spot on here. To be fair, Jesse's done the best he can and got some points on the board, built their confidence back up. We didn't expect Burnley and Everton to get the points with the games in hand. Spot on. Like, we didn't expect every other club around us to pick up form, did we, at the same time?
It's just typical.
And we haven't done bad.
I can't speak.
We haven't done bad with the games that we've played. Yeah, we've lost to City. You know, we played pretty well.
You said we were awful. Can you hypocrite turn up?
I thought going forward, I thought we did all right. Well, if we'd have played as well as we did against City, as we did against against Palace, as we did against City, we might have got some out of that game. We were fucking terrible at Palace. Fucking hell.
That's what's really wound me up about it all. What? Why didn't we play like that against Palace? They were there for the taking. Why didn't we do it?
I just don't know.
On that basis, do you think he's learnt a bit more about his side and then... Over that time period where we only had one game in 3 weeks or whatever it was, that's how long it felt like. As he learned more about his squad, we've come into this thinking we'll play the way that we want to play, regardless of the result, because we know how difficult this one's going to be to set us up for the future ones, and we're going to be playing a bit with a bit more width? Or is that just a case of the players just went to do what they wanted? It's not like Marsh were on the sidelines going, that's not what I want you to do. I didn't see any of that from him.
No, we didn't argue with anyone this week.
No. I like the fact that he likes to change it up as well, and does man, you know, we've been crying out for Bielsa to change his formations to suit. I mean, the two up, back, and they're not playing two up front and all that sort of stuff. Marsh is quite willing to change stuff around, and I suppose that is a kind of a breath of fresh air in you know, in reality, really. I mean,
if there's anyone to blame for this, and we do end up going down, the person who is least to blame is Jesse Marsh.
Oh, of course,
definitely.
The guy, I mean. He's done an half decent job. I mean, it's not been pretty. I mean, I've said enough about the whole thing. It's not a pretty football, but like you said, Luke, and a few others have said, he's doing a job. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to keep us in Premier League. Next year, you know, give it a few games. We'll see if he, you know, his own style and stuff has sort of been implemented. You know, getting the players that he wants to play in positions that he wants to play. You know, we might be Phillips-less, we might be Rafinha-less. Who knows what, you know. Depending on what league we're in as well.
You know what? I'll probably get shot down for this, but they're not irreplaceable footballers.
Trust or not.
And
not if we can get championship.
No, well, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah. if we were looking to kick on in the Premier League and push for Europe, and you know, talk about that. I mean, you put it in perspective in comparison to last season, at this stage last season, where we thought we might get in Europe, you know what I mean? We might get into fucking Europe, and then this season we are where we are. But if we do get relegated, losing Phillips and losing Rafinha would not be the massive end game that everybody thinks it is. It's like the end of the world, you know. We can replace those two players with.
We've been there before, mate. How many times have we been there before? You know.
I mean, at that level, especially.
I think
finance a new team.
Absolutely, and I think we obviously parachute payments and things. I think we'd also. I think the one I'd be more worried about losing is Meslier, because
yeah.
I just think he's. I mean, obviously he's got his faults, but he's a young goalkeeper. I think he's going to be worth. I think he's probably going to be the most expensive goalkeeper in the world in the future. Broken records left, right, and centre. I think we'll obviously miss Phillips for what he does for the team, but these two pivots doesn't suit him at all.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, do you think he's as effective in this team than he is over at Bielsa? I mean, everything went through Phillips in Bielsa's team, and with this. He's just—it's like you've touched on just then. He does not seem as effective. He just doesn't seem as busy. I won't say he's lost, because whenever he does get on ball, he's calm and collected as he would do normally. But he just doesn't seem to be seeing half as much as ball as he would have done normally.
And yet, that position is what made him England's Player of the Year.
Exactly.
It doesn't have that space, because we're playing with two pivots, whereas before Bielsa would play. Click or Dallas slightly in front and pulling an additional defender or attacker away from Phillips, which would leave Phillips in that pocket and give him, even if it was only 5 or 7 yards of space, he's not getting that anymore, because he's got somebody tied to his waist on the same team 3 yards away from him, which is putting two attacking or defensive players literally on his heels. He's not getting that time to spray the ball about and look up and do what he likes doing.
Equally, let's be fair about it. He's had one game coming back, so his first game back, and then he's played against City, and he were up against Rodri. You know, it's not like he's a two-bit player. He's a very, very good player. And I think from that sort of perspective, he does tend to get up to speed pretty quickly, but I think, you know, we expect so much of him. It's difficult for him to hit those heights straight away.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The expectations are so high. And I think another thing worth noting is as well, if we do get relegated, and I'm still positive, I'm still glass half full, chance of staying up, I would still say a 50-50, probably a little bit higher than 50, because I think we've just got something about us. But if we do go down, you look at the amount of youngsters that we've nurtured this season and that have had first team minutes in the Premier League, how good are those players going to be in the Championship? You know, with that extra few seconds of time, and you know, I don't want to think about the relegation just yet until it's mathematically sort of impossible.
Well, it's still contemplating, though. because they will.
Yeah, it's contemplate. Yeah, and, but I think I think if we get if we do get relegated, we absolutely walk that league and break all sorts of records next season. Come back home.
You'd hope so.
Well, like I say, depends what player pool we're left with, doesn't it? I suppose.
There's a lot of them youngsters though that should be pretty much first choice players next season if we're in the champ.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Matt Gaines in the comments has said, you know, talking about players like Leif Davis and a few others that I'd obviously get back. I mean, for me, I wouldn't want to play too much youth for the same reason as I wouldn't want to play too much youth in Premier League. It's still men's football at the end of the day. There's some cracking teams down there. I would be, you know, I wouldn't object to being more youth, but you'd still want a decent pool of good, experienced players in that.
Should we go down? But you've got Davis, who's played this season at Bournemouth. You've got Cody Drammer that's
played half the Davis.
Cody Drammer's played half the season at Cardiff. You know, there's Creswell played some Premiership minutes. There's Joffy played Premiership minutes. I think we've got good enough.
You've got some of them. Yeah, you know, want to start, what I'm saying. I'm not being funny.
I'd start a fair few of them.
I dare say the pick of the crop are the best championship players. You know, you'd be able to pull them in from all over the place because, any decent sort of player in the championship is going to look, Leeds have just come down. They might be wanting a player like me. You know, there's a good chance that we'll bounce and we'll go back up. Why wouldn't you want to say that, we could start playing him? Fuck that. We want to be signing the absolute cream at the championship to see if we can go back up. Not everyone. We don't want to do a Stoke or all like that and be still shit. But, you know, not having to rely on kids, I don't really think we should be looking to rely on kids.
Yeah. I think it should be half and half, half kids and half good experienced players.
No, man.
I do.
Don't forget we're getting Kassir back as well.
Oh, great.
Looking at. I have the best case 7 points from the next four, worst case 2.
Are you gone now?
Odds are we finish 17th. If Villa are up for the double, we stay up. And then it's just based on the points and everything, if we're staying up. Just pop that. No matter what, it's on the board. January window, bring nobody in. Actually, a lone player who turns to be a club's player of the season. It's shambolic. Look, you look at the players we were linked to in the lone window, and they've not really sort of pushed up any trees or anything. So the loan market's fucking horrible. It's horrific, isn't it? That's who I was sort of leaning towards. I mean, people moaned that we didn't sign him, and he's probably cost them an arm and a leg. You look at the players that did sign in Dele Alli and a few others, and look, it's horrible. It's January market. People want people off the books for a reason in January, and one reason only, and that's because there's good value in it. But the board's fault. It has to be. You know, it's we finished ninth last season, and we had Kieran Maguire on here the other week, didn't we? When we were talking about the price of football, Matt, and he was saying that how well we were doing financially. We're a well run club. There should have been money spent, nobody can account for the injuries we've had and the important players that we've had out for such lengthy periods. But unfortunately, sometimes, naturally, and this season proved it alone, that you do have to account for that, and then it can happen.
That's down on two people, though, isn't it? That's down on Bielsa not wanting a big squad and the board potentially not providing him the players what he wants. I mean, Bielsa was stubborn and didn't want any other sort of players coming into his team. We don't actually know anything from the board.
Well, we don't know that, do we? I think there's a lot of assumptions made on that, and I think that we know that he plays with a slimline squad, but equally we also know that he's not going to badmouth anybody.
We've lost him.
Thank you. He's not going to badmouth anybody. I think that bloody Chad Early's logged onto YouTube, hasn't he? I blocked him.
Oh God,
cancer. We'll get on.
I think I cut off then, didn't I? What I was trying to say was, we're in a position where we can see when a ref's had an absolute howler and Bielsa will not say a word against him. He's not gonna go and behave differently about his own board. If they let him down, he's not gonna say they've let him down.
No, he won't.
But then on the other side of the coin, Gilly, you've got if he doesn't get what he wants. He's been notoriously sort of quite vocal about it and just left. Like, do you know what I mean? In previous clubs, you look at, you know. So, there's a whole host of people we can sit here and blame, but until we're relegated, I don't think it's fair to blame anybody, because it'd be somebody will class it as a masterstroke, or Jesse Marsh might bring on Cresswell, he might score the winning header at Brentford, you know, in the last game of the season, and that'll be a masterstroke, and it'll be like, you know, build him a fucking statue. So, you know what we're like, we're fickle fans as Leeds, and we are.
And look at Villa, you know, their fans have mouthed off all season. They're literally only still in this league because of a technicality.
Yeah, teetering. Yeah. And they've not been bad, have they? You know, they didn't do bad last year. I mean, they haven't had the greatest of years this year. But like I said...
But they're only in the league because the goal mouth technology failed.
I know, but that's a perfect
example. And they still get to mouth off.
You don't know until right at the very back end of the season, until the last boot has been flung in. The last kick
of
the
game. Has been flung in.
Boot's been flung in, mate. You don't know. We don't know how it's going to carry on. We don't know how it's going to
just because, as I said, I don't want to sort of speculate on whose fault it is, but I think this is spot on. I don't see Raf in a lead shirt next season, regardless. I can't.
His body language says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about him at the minute. I thought, you know, I don't know if my expectations of him are too high.
Hang on a minute. Isn't he meant to be on here?
He's supposed to be on here.
Yeah, get yourself on. Over,
come on, Simon. Over.
You've got the link, Simon. Pull your finger out. speaking of Radzen, someone's been calling. He's been called a chancer, and he's had a few little bits. I mean, what do we think about Rads at the minute? What's going through his head at the minute? His business that he's built up, his empire he's building up, potentially.
Take your WhatsApp, Smarty.
Take your WhatsApp, Smarty. What are you on about? Come on, Smarty.
Check your WhatsApp.
Share it with the world. Tell us. I bet he's eating. I'll bet you he's eating.
I'm out. That's all he said. I'm out. You're fucking Duncan Valentine. I'm out.
I'm out.
What's he saying, man?
My head's gone, mate.
Absolutely
gone.
Nowhere
to be seen.
Oh, no, he's trapped. He's trapped at the training centre, I think, by the looks of it. Tell him to join on his
board. Tell him to click the link on his phone.
Yeah, he can join on his phone. Still while you're
at least it'll pass some at time.
That's not that shit, innit?
just on that, Smarty, that chancer thing, and people have got this quite wrong. Well, a lot of people have exactly this. Chad Hurley is not an investor in Leeds United. He is an investor in Leeds United, but only through other channels. Essentially, he paid a hefty sum of money to become part of this 49ers enterprises, who then invested in Leeds United. So he's not on the Leeds board. He has absolutely no say as to any decisions because he's not a board member. What he has got is money tied up in this chunk of money that the 49ers enterprises have put into Leeds United, and that's where it ends.
But he's got in his bio that he's an investor in Leeds United.
But that's only through the 49ers investors. 49ers enterprises.
Going to throw money blind.
It's still a shitty trick.
You know, the inner workings of a club, is it? He's not going to just throw money at it and go.
No, but 49ers investment group, I've put investment into a lot of different things. He literally calls out Leeds in his bio.
Well, no, that's because it was this particular, I don't know, project or whatever it was called through 49ers investors. They're probably working on about 50 different projects a season, invest money, you know, all over the world. And this particular one that he's invested in was the Leeds United one. But he doesn't have any say, does he? And he's probably, I would be very surprised if he's ever met Andrea Radrizzani at all, ever.
Didn't he come over? Didn't he come over?
Rad's there. Is he holding a gun for your head? Just touch the wall if he's...
Chad or Rad?
Blink twice if you need this.
Are we allowed to say Chad Hurley's name on YouTube anyway without getting banned?
I just saw that report that he gets every morning.
He must know something, though. To come out with that and say, yeah, he's a chancer. And then to delete the tweet as well. He must know something. I'm not being funny. You pump a load of money into a business. That's what we are. you're going to know something, aren't you? Fucking hell.
There's going to be a lot of memes about Raz saying this is the moment that we're fucked up and then like some sort of football score at the end of the season if we go down. And I reckon
we've had so many ups and downs as Leeds fans this season alone, right? We've had people, you know, thanking the board, praising the board, we've had people hating the board. And it's just, who would be an owner of a football club? Name me one good owner that isn't a multi-billionaire and just throws money at a club.
No.
You should know one, shouldn't you?
I mean, for someone who shows as much, or has shown as much passion and stuff as Raz has, I mean, most... Hello. I mean,
imagine freezing, right? He's out
there, he puts himself out there on Twitter. You know, he makes all these appearances and stuff like that. I mean, that Forshaw tweet, you know, like a frigging lead balloon, wasn't it? That, Christ alive.
But, well, you know, and then Forshaw came back and was arguably played the season.
Unreal. And now he's gone again. He's injured again. But yeah.
They can't step in for him. The midfielder that we didn't buy in the fucking transfer window.
I think we've got to look at it from a realistic point of view. Like, I understand people aren't gonna enjoy or support Raz or lick his arm, or you know, however you want to describe the support for Raz Rezani is, it was either that or it's what we had before in Cellinio.
Exactly.
Do you know?
I can't really knock him for what he's done, for what he's given us and stuff. Yeah, it's gone a bit pear-shaped. He reacted... He's made mistakes.
Too late.
Of course, he's not got that much experience in this before Leeds United. You know, they're going to do. And I'm not protecting Raz. You know, I think they've all fucked up massively. I think they took a huge gamble by not, you know, investing in the squad and stuff like that in January transfer window. They obviously didn't, you know... They didn't see all this injury shit carrying on probably into the second half of the season. Maybe they were a little bit naive, who knows? But at the end of the day, he's got a club to run and he should have made these calls earlier. And it's got to light his door, unfortunately. It's got to be down to the chairman.
For me, he's done a good job overall, but he's made some fatal mistakes this season. And it's
what happens if we stay up, Jay? Do you still stand by that?
Yeah. I do. I stand by it in the sense that...
And if we were to survive, we'd survive literally by the skin of our teeth.
In spite of him, not because of him, innit? I stand by it
in the sense that they should have still invested and given us an easier run in and put less strain on the players and less stress on us.
If we stay up and he's protected his investment and he sells the club in the summer and he's not had to invest, it's a masterstroke.
It's an absolute gamble, massively, and he's gambled with our top flight.
No, yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Let's hope it does pay off. Hey, good luck to him.
They'll just throw some more NFTs at people. Speaking of which, would you like to talk to us about the NFTs at all? Is anyone interested in any NFTs? Anything like that? A PR absolute shot in the foot.
So it sounded like you said Jay then, but you said beforehand that you're coming to me. Did you say Gilly?
I did say Gilly. It might have been some more lag there.
Jay, look alike though.
I think little and large. I think
twins.
I'm
Danny DeVito.
I might get a bit of stick for this. And I've been really quite vocal about NFTs and about grifters that create bullshit images and sell them for as much as they can. At that same point, for a completely different rationale, but all the same, I have bid on the NFT auction. And that will get me some shit, I'm sure. But in terms of what I put forward for a charity was... a value thing that allows you access to training, gets access to the Leeds Legends, you get hospitality for two, and you get some bullshit image. Yeah. that might lessen the impact of some of the shit that I'm getting, you think?
I'll stick up for you. So, yeah, I mean, like a good idea. Tell me more.
So I think, you know, I work in IT. I know the backgrounds. I know what the blockchain represents and fungibility of tokens and so on is not of interest to me at all. I think from a perspective of what we look with the socio stuff, that can still all get in the bin. I think that is taking the piss out of fans. This is a charitable thing that's going to a good cause and gives me access to stuff that otherwise I wouldn't have access to. So I think in terms of the fact that it's NFTs, it's largely irrelevant because I would have bid on an auction to get access to hospitality training and see the legends before a game, regardless of getting some image. But it, yeah, I think...
Whose image have you bid on?
Rodrigo, because I'm tight and he were cheapest.
who else were there?
Calvin were there, Stewie were there, Melier were there. So Calvin were top. In terms of the bids, Calvin were top, Melier behind him. Rodrigo were there and Jackie Harrison. So I think there were seven or eight. And it looks like it's attracted some decent sums of money. Now, I'm not winning the auction that I bid on. I put $500 on and I'm not winning it. But that $500 is what? 400 quid. And that's one hospitality ticket. So in terms of value, at the point at which I bid on it, it represented good value. I think if you look at the Calvin one and the Melier one, I agree with Luke. He's going to be massive in the game over his career. And I think if you look at the value associated with it, it might be that someone with more money than sense bids on it because there's an NFT in there as well. And actually, from a charitable perspective, if it makes more money and costs them next to bugger all to actually create, so what? It goes to charity. So I think I'm looking at that very differently to the socio stuff. So a lot of it's going to get bundled together because of the nature of it. But I'm looking at that really quite differently in terms of that. And then off the back of that, we've also seen that there is a separate auction ongoing for the worn shirts in the warm-up, aren't they? Which I think is a bit more normal and is then a fungible token.
Yeah, so I get the why socios felt such a rip-off. It's about paying for goal music and you know, things that, you know, are fucking useless. And this piece of internet that you actually win might actually be useless, but the argument somebody gave to me the other day was that you don't actually own anything because I could just screenshot it. But that's like saying, you know, I could say I own the Mona Lisa because I've got a screenshot of it on my phone. The future is that these blockchains and that are going to be valuable. And if you don't want to bid on it, don't. Like, nobody's making you. And I understand why a lot of people say it was targeting the wrong type of fans and it can skint people. But realistically, if you've got any little bit of sense about you, if you can't afford $500 to put a bid in on this auction, you're not going to.
No, of course you're not. You'll probably just ridicule it like most of us do. I mean, like you said, probably ill-timed.
It is
ill-timed with everything that's going on and all that sort of, and the situation that we're in. But at the end of the day, it's for a good cause. And I think people are forgetting that. Like Gilly, you know, obviously, you know, they've stuck in the price of an hospitality ticket. If they don't, you know, there's probably going to be millionaires out there that'll be sticking, you know, thousands on it. And, you know, and fair enough. What were you doing then, Jay?
Hey,
you have a nervous twitch then?
Well, I know what I do.
No, these are not.
He was just trying to edit one of the balls.
Fucker. Fucking hell. Has anyone got an Autono Bitter rant?
I think my Autono Bitter rant is probably going to be about Twitter fans.
Autono Bitter.
So yeah, the Autono Bitter this week is the hot and cold up and down of Twitter in general, and not just Leeds fans, just in general. It's just an absolute shit show of a place to be. And I know most of our listeners are probably listening through Twitter, so fuck you. yeah. I'm only kidding. But yeah, look, it's just you can't fucking win, can you? Do you know what I mean? Like, 1 minute everyone's buzzing, you know, we beat
Shelley's sorry to interrupt, correct, but Shelley's really Jay, isn't it?
No.
That's Jay's alter ego. Nobody else wants us to stop bullying him.
I'm not that good at typing and talking.
Oh, it can't be Jay then.
Stop bullying Jay. You need to know. thanks, Shelley. But no, yeah, I think my rant this week is stop fucking slagging everybody off, all the team, the club, everything. Until it's over, it's not over. It's not over until Jay dressed up sings. So we're not down, and if anything, you know, we've got previous of having some real fucking oomph behind us and getting the fans behind us. And I think we have all the fans behind us. There's just some absolute tits out there, actually. Fuck it. I'm not going to name any names, but I read some people's tweets on there, and I just think, if I saw you in real life, I'd fucking smack you so hard.
You could have swinging this, though, some stage you're in.
I'll
grab you and I'll throw them.
It's just given everybody on Twitter now. It just doesn't feel like when I first joined Twitter and used to talk about sport, and particularly obviously Leeds United and that, it was quite a used to have quite healthy debates about stuff, and whether that was about football or whether it was about, I mean, I don't know fuck all about politics, but I used to read the odd bit. If it was about politics, you'd never get people getting personal and shitty, right, and start pulling up fucking, you know, quote tweets from fucking 1994, just to try and prove you're wrong. And like, it just fucks me up. And I don't know if that's social media in general, because I only use Twitter really. But just start being a little bit nicer to folk, man.
It winds me up as well when, like, you disagree with something and some 12-year-old will reply and just put ratio. Fuck off, you fucking
twat. But what they're on about, Jay, is the ratio of your size of your head to the rest of your body.
No, mate, they're not on about the fucking ratio of your fucking ego to the size of your body, either.
Yes. Yeah, you're right, Luke. It just seems to be like a minefield of one-upmanship, doesn't it? It's like people are constantly out to make people look like dickheads.
I've set a timer on my Twitter now, so I can only go on there for a maximum of 30 minutes a day in total, because I was spending that much time just reading shit and I'm making myself angry and not feeling great about it. You know, I was coming off Twitter.
Unfollow Jay.
It's like betting apps.
Yeah.
When the fun stops.
Time out.
I just don't have time for penises that probably wouldn't dream of like talking to you like that in real life. So yeah, Twitter is going in the shit bin this week for me.
Right, good on you. Thank you for the Arsenal bit of rant of the week. You just touched on something, like, you know, just to briefly summarising. At the end of the day, right, we're in a shit situation. We may go down, we may stay up. But at full time against
some of it,
he's off to sort his cat.
We'll just gone to headbutt a wall. That's what dwarves do, innit? The headbutt stuff.
he's got his golden axe out.
Gilead.
Gilead's Thunderhead.
She's just back now. just to add to your point there, Luke, I think a lot of that comes from being in the Premier League, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Twitter were ace in Championship.
When we were really good.
Yeah.
I used to enjoy it when we were really
good. Even opposition fans, they actually had something about them rather than it just being a bunch of kids.
Do you know what? You're quite right. Almost like their grounds as well, like their stadiums. When you go, they've got some decent chants, you know, that it's a bit lively and you can have a bit of a laugh. Then you go to fucking Arsenal and they're singing Twist and Shout. That's no word of a lie.
Really?
They were singing Twist and Shout. I was with Big Lou and I was with London Leeds at Arsenal away early on in the season. And I was right next to the Arsenal fans and I was giving it. And, you know, one of them... like, just dickheads, just young dickheads.
Don't get yourself in bother.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. And then they were buzzing off singing Twist and Shout to me, and that was the highlight of their afternoon or evening or whatever it was.
I remember when we went down. I went to Arsenal Wayne Cup when we were still in Championship. and they're just all assholes walking about with pizza boxes and little carrier bags, and they're all, you know, it's all nice. Fuck off. Some little wanker came up to one of my mates who was a bit of a dickhead, let's be honest, with his fucking scarf up in his face. And he got a size 9 Samba straight to fucking kneecap. One of the best things I've ever seen in my life. I thought, yeah, you don't do that shit to fucking
that'll
But you know, that's the sort of, you know, that's the sort of climate that we've got to get used to. Hopefully it'll continue. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
But I mean, you look at the stadium that we're playing in when we're playing away from home, and you look at West Ham, where you're a million miles away from pitch, and Arsenal and Spurs and soulless balls like that, and you look at tin pot sides like Palace and Brighton that have got to make up a rivalry because they don't actually have a real one because they've got no soul as a club. You know, it's just, it's all bullshit.
You know what? If I could literally wipe out half the Premier League and pull teams up, I could quite easily tell you 10 teams now that I'd tell to fuck off. Norwich, fuck off. Watford, fuck off. Burnley, fuck right off. Brentford, see there.
That's about your Palace, old next team.
Palace, get bent.
That's why he hates Burnley.
Yeah, Burnley.
Fuck off. Yeah,
Southampton.
I like Burnley.
Southampton, that was a shit all as well. But yeah, look, and then you look at the teams that have, I mean, we were there once upon a time as well, but the teams that have fallen and you know, proper fan bases and teams that have, you know, real history. It's just the way of the world is fixed in it.
Preston, Bolton.
We're not just fixing football today. We're fixing the world.
We fix everything. Yeah.
We could fix it. It's all gone to shit. I'd probably prefer to stay in Premier League, but at the end of the day, if we go to Championship, we're still all leads, aren't we? And that atmosphere,
still be there. I'll just be pissed.
That atmosphere at 90 minutes on Saturday, that is why I love going to football. Fuck your ham and cheese fucking arsehole sandwiches that Arsenal have and that Liverpool have and all that sort of stuff. Them sort of fans are for me. Championship, nitty gritty. 5 fans coming up from Ipswich. That I'm all for it, but I probably would rather stay in Premier League if I'm totally honest. But if we go down, I'm really I've made my peace with it now. I'm not that fucking bothered if I'm honest, lads.
Everybody's going to say the same. The desire, if you're in the Championship, is to get to the Premier League. So nobody's going to choose to go back to Championship. Nobody wants to be Norwich. Nobody wants to be West Brom and become that yo-yo club. You can't get away with you can't get away from the fact that the atmosphere in the Championship and the banter that you get with the other clubs is better. It just is.
It's miles better.
Norwich away, they must say going up, going down, going up, going down. You know, they're just fucking. Imagine being a Norwich, though. Like, I'd rather be forever.
At least they take the piss out of themselves, though. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Fucking hell! It's about having a laugh and having a good time, and we've had few good times this season, but you know, hopefully Jesse Marsh will be able to implement his bits and bobs and crack on next year. Hopefully, if we're still.
I've just got a question before we move on.
Go on.
Name the most obscure club to play in the Premier League that you can think of.
Oxford,
Oldham.
I want to say, I don't know, probably Bournemouth.
They're not that obscure. Do you know what? I could not believe this the other day that this club had played in the Premier League, and I argued head and toe about it. Swindon.
Yeah,
I remember them.
Bradford.
Yeah.
Bradford, Barnsley.
Seasons, I was just going to say Barnsley have been up there as well, haven't they? Barnsley.
Yeah.
The Tigers.
Oh Christ! Don't even get me.
Good question.
There's not much of a worse.
Oxford accident. Haven't been in the Premier League.
Oh, I must be going back to my Panini days. It must have been just before then.
Right, question for us all here from Shelley. How many points do we think we need, and where from? Right. Now, we can't actually tell you where from. And tell them smarty why.
What?
Tell them why we can't tell them.
Well, I was going to say, out of our next 4 games, what do we think that you know what we're going to predict?
We can't, can we? Aren't we I've not written it down yet, but we need to do it before next game, don't we?
That's kind of our private thing. We basically had a chat in a WhatsApp group this afternoon and said, you know, let's all write down our predictions for the next four games, and at the end of the season, we'll discuss it and say, look, this is what I predicted, how wrong or how right we are. We still want to obviously see, for sake of it, I suppose, we've got Arsenal to cover coming up. But out of the next four games, how many points do you reckon we're going to get?
Rookie's I'm not going to tell you how many I'm going to get. I'm not going to tell you how many we're going to get. I'm going to tell you how many I think we need. And that they're two completely different.
Okay. Go on then.
I think we need 5 points.
You think we'll need 5 points?
We'll need 5 points from our remaining four games.
Okay. Jay?
God, I think we need 7 the way it's going. I'm scared.
Just put that up, given our games in hand.
Because of the goal difference, essentially.
Gilly?
I think we're fucked.
Okay, mate. That's... Why?
I think we get 5, we stay up. I'll be nervous as fuck about it, but we get 5 and we stay up.
How many do you reckon, how many points do you reckon Burnley and Everton are getting over the next, I think, well, 4 for Burnley and 5 for Everton?
Who Burnley got? They've got Villa twice, haven't they?
Villa twice. Is it Arsenal and Brentford? Let's have a look.
I'll check Burnley out. Somebody else check, Everton out.
I'll get Everton.
Burnley have got Villa at home, then they've got Spurs away, then they've got Villa away, and then they've got Newcastle at home. They're not getting more than 3 points.
I think
they Everton, might shit out 3 draws.
Everton have Leicester on Sunday, then they've got a midweek against Watford, they've got Brentford, Palace, and then Arsenal last game of the season. Those are 2 hard games. 3 potentially hard games.
Hey, look, it's going to be a tough running. I can't see Burnley getting more than 3 points, and if they get 3 points, what does that put them on? And if we get 5, see, we're on the equal amount of points, aren't we? We've only got to better Burnley's points per game to stay up. Equaling it won't keep us up because of the goal difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fucked because of goal difference.
And I would probably argue that we've got 2 more difficult games than Burnley, but 2 easier games as well.
Potentially. Brighton more difficult.
Than you'd think. Brighton haven't got anything to play for. They're probably going to finish top half of the table. They can't make it to Europe. Brentford, depending on their next game.
It depends what happens between now and then for Brentford, doesn't it? That might be a dead rubber for them.
Exactly.
I'm scared. But arguably, I'm scared Everton will get 9.
Come on, Jay, scared that Everton will get nine.
There's that positive Jay we know and love.
I'm scared.
Where are they going to get 9 from? I think they'll beat Watford.
Watford, Brentford,
yeah.
Palace.
You think they'll win all 3? You think they're going to win 3 games in a row within the space of a week?
I don't know, mate. I hope not. My heart says no. I can't do it.
My mind's telling me no.
But my body.
My heart says no, they can't do it, but my head is telling me.
There's new names, very negative, Jay.
I'm not actually being negative. I'm just saying.
Should it be called Nay then? Very negative Nay.
Nay Carte.
Yeah, positive Nay.
Can we do it? Nay, can't we?
I'm not saying anyone, but I'm scared.
I'm not positive. So come on then, Arsenal. Arsenal weekend.
Just before we get into that, just a couple of things. So first off, happy birthday, Joffy. And secondly, I've got something really, really positive to now share with you. Everton boss Frank Lampard has been charged by the Football Association for his post-match comments after last month's 2-0 defeat at Liverpool. Fuck off, that Frank.
Yeah. Has he got
said something, yeah? He thinks the teams that have got note to play for will be harder fixtures. The players always seem super relaxed and play with freedom.
It's a good point.
This is why you should have been on tonight, Simon.
Look, was it in the last set? What could have done with
you? What do you think he is, Simon Friggin Johnson? Who are you, Simon Johnson? Shit house. Nice shirt, though. Yeah, it's a shame Si couldn't join us tonight, actually.
Oh, hello.
I'm going to go on
there. Madrid have just scored.
What are you saying?
Real has scored.
One all, last minute of the game. They need another goal, the Real Madrid.
Guess what? It's 2-1.
That'd still make it a draw anyway, wouldn't it?
2-1-2.
Yeah, away goals don't count this season.
Real.
Bastards. Yeah.
They've scored so they're drawing in 90 now. And 90 plus one.
What the fuck?
They are.
Serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that Benzema?
Rodrigo's got the first one.
Well,
Vinicius. Shit as well.
I'm looking forward to my games whilst we're on the Leeds United podcast, lads.
Your host.
Listen, mate, when stats is on, we get a full rundown of every game that's going on.
If you were to choose between City and Madrid to progress to the final, would it be?
Man City. I think they've got a better chance of beating Liverpool, and they don't want them fuckers winning it.
Yeah, we don't want them fuckers winning it, do we?
That's a fair point. We'll agree then.
Right, so chaps, this weekend's game against Arsenal. Potential Cooper could be back because it were only a twinge. Llorente was only a twinge as well, so there's two players that could potentially come back. Bamford's on the grass this weekend. Not this weekend, but this week. Training with the first team. Can't really sit. What? You all right, Luke?
Sorry, I've just seen the goal.
Bamford's back on grass training this week. How do we think it's going to go? How do you think we're going to set up? Are we going to be similar to City? Are we going to go to playing shit football like we were against Palace? Jay, what do you think, mate?
I think we have to try and play a similar way to what we played against City. We're playing another open, expansive team, so I'd like to see us do something similar and hopefully actually convert some chances this time. I'm struggling to see us getting a win there, but I'm very hopeful of a draw. That's probably my heart more than my head at this point, but we need something. I think the morale boost, if we get something, would be
would
massive.
Would you play Firpo?
Probably. Mm. Probably. He's the only natural left-back we've got now, isn't he?
And we don't have Dallas.
We don't have Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. No. So, he's the only one. I mean, Stroik could play there, obviously, but I wouldn't put him there. And I'm not sure whether I would pick Stroik at all at the moment. Back to the bench.
He's not been having a good set of games, has he? He's not been playing well.
No, I don't think he's coping with it.
Our best centre-back, Liam Cooper, is back in the fold. Absolutely.
The thing.
and maybe Llorente, we'll see. He's a nutcase, isn't he? But yeah.
Do you think Dan James will be back in, or do you think he'll stick with the same side? I thought that were odd that he didn't play him against them. When
how do you think Rodrigo played him that day?
Would have been our system.
Anyone? Rodrigo, Saturday, how do you think he played? Because he didn't seem to play that well at all, did he, on Saturday? He had a bit of an off
one. Well.
No idea. Pretty,
not as well.
Pretty anonymous. Pretty anonymous.
I think, you know, I think that chance really early on impacted his morale. I think he beat himself up over that for quite some time. And actually, as one of the leadership group, he's got to be showing that's not the case and that he's going to get past that and setting an example. And I think he fell short.
Yeah.
And there was also a point later in the game that I noticed where it looked to me like Raf had the option to pass to him and chose not to. And I thought maybe that's because he didn't pass to him early on.
Yeah, he did.
I thought to myself, I don't really want to see players doing that.
The guy went off because he looked like he tried to pass the ball. He should have just gone.
He waited too long.
Yeah, no, he should have been a touch earlier. He took too many touches and tried to go for it. And that's the thing with Rodrigo. He makes some shit decisions. He really does.
When they're on that break with a defender between them, just bang, tap it across in front of him. Job done.
Easy as that.
So
I
think
I don't want to see players like giving each other receipts for not getting balls and stuff. I don't want to see him giving each other payback.
I think in terms of the shape of the game, I think it'll be an interesting one because if you look at their midfield, I think Odegaard's a decent player, he's a baller. But I think if you look at Xhaka, he's vying with Henderson for being the worst midfielder in the league. And I think that if you look at Elneny, he's not much better. So I think they're really weak in central midfield.
He's playing in Europa, isn't he? He's going, huh? He's going up against Firpo, isn't he? Saka.
He's on about Xhaka.
Xhaka.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said Saka. Sorry.
No, Xhaka and Elneny in the middle. He's one of the worst midfield pairings I've ever seen. And I think that if we're playing with width and we're going up against where they're strong, then we might actually do better playing through the middle in this one because they're weaker in the middle. So it'll be interesting to see how they're set up. I think Martinelli, I don't rate. He scored against us earlier in the season, fair enough. But I don't think. But Saka is a decent player.
Yeah. It would tap him, wouldn't it, Martinelli?
Yeah. And then obviously Eddie coming back, he's going to want to prove a point, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
struggling on
side him this season.
We've just got to be really careful because following this weekend's games, we could be quite, you know, embedded in the relegation zone. And
we're good.
I just don't want us to have too high expectations away at Arsenal. Their last three games, they've beaten West Ham, Scum, and Chelsea all quite comfortably. And they found a bit of form, and you know, they're a good side. So
they're not unassailable, though. They did get Brighton that one too long ago, so they're not unassailable.
And Southampton beat them as well. And Palace hammered them, didn't they?
Yeah,
earlier on 3-0, I think it was.
So they're just a really weird club.
Yeah,
they're not unbeatable, but the current form suggests that that things are clicking and they've got they seem to have found their stride. So just to go there, I think a point is a massive win for us if we go there and get a point. I'll be honest. I think there's a very slim
a draw.
Chance of us. Huh?
That's a draw, not a win.
That's a massive win for us, though.
I'm inclined to agree with you there, Luke. I think, you know, I don't think we can expect anything better than a draw, if I'm totally honest. And I would take a draw. I mean, it's not ideal, but, you know, it's better than fucking walking away.
I think we'll set up like that as well. I think we'll set up to play pretty boring and not be as flexible and free as we probably were at home to City when there was, you know, when it was almost pretty much a free hit. So there was a little bit more fluidity and a bit flexibility that probably we won't be seeing. We'll be far more rigid and managed, I think, against Arsenal, because I think we'll be setting up to take a point away from the Emirates.
Let's get some scores then.
Let's get some predictions. We'll go around the room. Jay, give us a prediction, mate, please.
Hang on.
Auto no better predictions.
You remembered this time.
Call yourself a host.
I'm relying on you. We missed about five of them. Yeah. Come on.
I'm stuck between 1-1 and 2-2 here. 1-1.
It doesn't really matter because it's a draw, does it?
Auto.
10 points. 1-1-2.
I nearly answered that then.
What would you have said?
You'd have probably said Arsenal the dickhead, wouldn't
you? But all to Arsenal.
I can never go against Leeds.
It's all nay over there. Gilly, what's your prediction?
I'm going to go I'm going to go 2-1 Leeds.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Bless you. Luke?
I'm going to go for
2-2.
Marty.
Big Desmond.
I'm going to go 1-1. I think it'll be a tight-knit game, I think, down there. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that's fucking Dickham. But, yeah.
Listen, the fact that Everton have gone and beat Scum and they've beat Chelsea gives us hope, doesn't it? Anything's possible.
Right, yeah.
It's probably not going to happen, but anything's possible.
Hopefully Arsenal will just roll over for us. Just lift a leg. Yeah, lads. Have your way with me.
If some of our fans can sit outside their hotel at 2:30 and let fireworks off like Everton's fans did to Chelsea, then we might have a chance.
I think that'd be fantastic.
Well, Si Johnson can pipe up with his if he's still listening. I
wonder if he's got out of his out of his dungeon yet. That he was just out of his car.
Oh, lads, having an ordeal.
He'll be eating all oranges that he's got for game tomorrow. What a kid! Crying in his car, having to eat all kids' lunches for tomorrow. He's done up lunches and stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, drinking all the fruit juice and a little bags of apple pieces.
He is one. Did Ben White play against West Ham? I don't remember seeing his name.
I saw something flash up on my phone today about potentially Ben White missing out.
Yeah, with Gabriel and Holding with the centre half, he didn't play. So, that'd be another one come back and on us, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Odegaard didn't play either, though, did he?
I would have liked to see him, but not get injured.
Huh? He did. Against West Ham, he did.
I don't fucking like him.
There he is.
Oh, 2-3 Leeds.
3-2 Leeds.
Yeah, Odegaard came off.
Simon Johnson in the middle. Simon Johnson ignores him.
That little Simon Johnson. There he is. Bless him.
And Simon Johnson was so in the middle.
The last time we were on his arse and needed a win down, obviously not Ivory, but down at Arsenal away. In a cracking kick as well. Are you still there? You haven't died or out from starvation.
You mean not Emery?
Told you at your last. Well, yeah. Should be worried.
You are.
Right, chaps, unless anyone's got anything else to add. I think we've towed arse out of this one, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Let's just fuck off.
As if we started late, we still did fucking an hour and a quarter. And I was like, let's get it fucking smashed out tonight, lads. I'm fuck off.
I'm knackered too, and here we are.
That dog to walk, so thank you, gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Obviously, a little late due to technical glitches.
Oh, what now?
I've got your pole still downstairs. Wait to pole vault into bed.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.